It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Last month on the show, we talked about the results of a recent report from UW-Madison's Institute for Research on Poverty, where researchers studied childcare supply and demand challenges facing Wisconsin.
The study found that more than half of Wisconsin's childcare providers are operating below capacity. That's mostly due to understaffing and providers' inability to afford to pay their workers competitive wages.
At the same time, childcare around the state continues to get more expensive for families.
In Manitowoc, one CEO saw the challenges his employees were facing trying to find affordable care and decided he wanted to do something about it. We'll talk with him about the steps he's taken to make childcare more accessible for his employees.
But first, we'll get a better picture of the childcare landscape in Wisconsin with Ruth Schmidt, Executive Director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Ruth, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks for having me.
Well, this will come as no surprise to many people in Wisconsin. There's kind of a childcare crunch facing people. Give us a rundown of the current state of childcare in Wisconsin, please, Ruth.
So what we know about the current state of childcare is that based on a report that came out just 2 weeks ago from the Institute for Research on Poverty, we have looked at childcare and we know that there are right now 33,000 slots of childcare that are in classrooms that are empty because we do not have childcare staff for those positions. So we have a shortage of somewhere between 4,000 and 6,000 childcare providers in our state. And we also know that the trends that we see due to the lack of available care in communities is that we see our the level of women in our workforce declining. We have hit the lowest rate of women in our workforce since the 1980s at just 59%. We know that the cost of childcare is continuing to go up. We have looked at recent data that says that just over the past 12 months, we've seen the cost of childcare go up on average 14% in Wisconsin. We also know that that correlates to what we call a decline in the Child Care Counts program. The Child Care Counts program is a mechanism by which federal dollars came into the state. The state was able to pump those out literally into child care programs directly to help cover operating costs, to help pay their staff, to provide bonuses. And as that money declines over time, and it'll be fully eliminated by July of 2025, we anticipate we'll see another dramatic increase in the cost of childcare. So we know we have a shortage of childcare because we cannot staff those positions in our state due to poor revenue streams into childcare that limits what they can pay to their teachers. Teachers are getting paid approximately $13 an hour, which is less than 50% of what the average individual working in Wisconsin makes. And so this all results in, I think, just a real struggle for families in terms of affordability, struggle of childcare programs to keep their doors open over time. And it is, it's concerning as we see the trends in a lack of childcare and the increase in prices continue over time.
And Ruth, we talk a lot about the market and some of the things shaping this. I know an important point for you is, what does this all mean for the kids themselves?
Yeah, I mean, I think the concern we have in terms of what's happening with children is that ensuring that especially children who are living in income-constrained households that ultimately often have the highest need for childcare, that those children only have access to about half of the childcare market in our state. And so a lot of families simply cannot find care for children. And in those situations, we worry significantly about the health and safety of those children in terms of where are those children when their parents have to be at work. We know that there is unregulated opportunities for care through a relative, a friend, But we also know that the care that children can get in high quality early childhood programs, you can't put a dollar value on that. It prepares them for lifelong learning. It meets their social emotional needs. And we're very concerned about what's happening. If we know we've got 33,000 slots of care that we cannot fill with kids because we don't have teachers, we are very concerned about what's happening to those children.
Some people in the business world are trying to get creative and find solutions here. In just a few moments, we'll hear from a business leader who's subsidizing childcare for employees. I know you don't see that as the complete solution. Do you see positive signs, though, that that can help make a difference?
I absolutely think that employers have a role to play in looking at possible options for solutions in terms of what's going on in childcare. Where I land on that issue is there's a lot that employers can do that will be supporting their employees. That's the appropriate place for them. They support their employees. But the unfortunate downside of that is it doesn't result in new increased revenue streams coming into the childcare workforce itself. And so until we find those revenue streams, which I believe comes from a government investment into childcare, which is what a lot of states are figuring out right now, we need to really focus on ways that employers can also lend their voices when it comes to sort of advocating for a public investment into childcare. Because quite honestly, without it, we cannot just rely on parents and employers to be able to afford covering the true cost of what care and what early childhood educators need in order to have a living wage as they're doing this important work.
And that takes us back to the Child Care Counts funding that you mentioned from the federal government during COVID. That federal money, of course, has been going away. Do you see prospects to get it replaced here in Wisconsin?
What I can tell you is we are working around the clock on that issue. We engage with individuals from multiple sectors in the state of Wisconsin through a coalition called Raising Wisconsin to work on ensuring that we're all putting the same ask forward in terms of ongoing state investment of significant state revenue into childcare. If you want to call it Child Care Counts, that's the governor's program. That is something that I believe firmly in. But the bottom line is we need a bold state investment in child care so that what employers are doing and what parents can do can actually turn the dial on what's happening in this field right now.
As we wrap up, Ruth, what do you see as the consequences if we don't backfill that federal funding?
Yeah, I think those consequences are really kind of scary. We will continue to see programs closing. We know that since 2013, we've seen 26% of childcare programs close in our state. We will continue to see that trend. We will continue to see the cost of care going up significantly by double digits and families unable to purchase that care. And we will see, most importantly, our children not having access to the best possible starts in life.
Ruth, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, Rob.
Ruth Schmidt is the executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Now the CEO of one Wisconsin company has made an effort to help his employees and their families get access to childcare. Sachin Shivaram is CEO of Wisconsin Aluminum Foundry in Manitowoc and chair of the Governor's Council on Workforce Investment. Sachin, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks so much for having me, Rob.
What right now is your company offering in terms of childcare assistance for your employees?
We offer all of our employees $400 a month to reimburse them for any childcare expenses that they have.
And are there strings attached as to be a particular kind of childcare or anything like that?
You know, we started that way. We, you know, in the when we first started on our childcare journey, we wanted to encourage our employees to migrate to kind of higher quality care. And so we said that you'll get $400 if you're going to a licensed childcare provider. And, you know, to nobody's surprise, of course, we found that our employees couldn't find spots in licensed care facilities. And so we just expanded it to any sort of care expense that they have. And so no strings attached, no requirements. And frankly, we're pretty loose on the documentation that they need as well. I mean, we have people whose grandmother or neighbor cares for their child, and they just send us an email saying, yes, you know, I care for this child. And that's all we require.
Sachin, let's go back to the beginning of that childcare journey. So you're in the aluminum business. What got you interested in the childcare needs of your employees?
Yeah, I was having a just chatting with an employee before he started his shift. We were in the parking lot and we were just chit-chatting, and you know, I peeked into the back of his car and he had this pink car seat in there. And you know, I'll never forget, it was just in a sea of garbage, you know, Mountain Dew bottles and chip wrappers, and I just kind of had a pang of you know, worry. I said, oh, you know, I see you have a child. And then he said, yeah, I'm a single dad actually. And the car seat was pink, so I could, you know, tell it was a girl. And he said that she was 4 years old. And I asked him what he did for childcare. And he said that, well, you know, I take her to a different home each day. You know, sometimes it's a neighbor and I have relatives in the area. And you know, it really kind of got me like a little choked up. And you know, even now as I think about it, I was just imagining this little girl, you know, backpack and blanket in tow, you know, toothbrush and going from house to house. And I just, you know, I felt sad. You know, I felt disappointed in ourselves that our employees are, you know, not able to afford the best for their children. I felt like we needed to do something to help them, because these are, you know, the kids in our community, but even closer, they're the kids of our employees.
The monetary assistance you were just talking about, that wasn't plan A. You kind of went big at first and thought, okay, as I understand it, what did you do?
Yeah, no, we started from scratch. I mean, we thought we were just going to revolutionize childcare. I mean, we're pretty good at making aluminum castings, and we thought, okay, we'll just bring the same brain to childcare. And, you know, I sat down with a few people in the community whom I trust, you know, the CEO of the local YMCA and some other childcare providers. And I said, you know, let's bring a great childcare solution to the Manitowoc community. You know, what will that take? And we want to pay everybody a living wage. At the time, we were paying $20 an hour. Today, we pay an average of about $26 an hour. And so at the time we said, okay, well, we pay $20 an hour at our business. That's what we're going to pay to these teachers. And what else do we need? How much space do we need? You know, how much, you know, what do we need in terms of technology? And I had these visions of, you know, creating the type of excellent childcare center. You know, my wife and I have friends from college and law school who live in Houston and Washington, D.C. and Chicago and big cities, and they have access to this tremendous, you know, childcare, you know, industry. And I was like, we're going to bring something like that to Manitowoc. And, you know, I'll never forget, we built a little model in Excel and, you know, tabulating all the costs. And then we said, okay, how many kids are we going to have? And then you divide the cost by the number of kids. And it came out to, I think, somewhere around $42,000 per year per child, which is crazy. You know, and actually, so, I mean, some people do pay that. You know, I bet, you know, this high quality childcare that exists in some places, that's what it costs at least. But we realized, you know, that's not going to work. You know, nobody can really, in our community, can really afford to pay that amount of money. And then we went through all sorts of different solutions, potential solutions. We tried to create a consortium of local businesses to fund a new childcare center. We applied twice for the Workforce Innovation Grant that the WDC in Wisconsin put on during the COVID time using ARPA funds. And, you know, we also worked on an initiative with the local Chamber of Commerce, but just nothing was working. You know, we were aiming for a structural change and we just couldn't get there. And, you know, along the way, as we realized these solutions weren't materializing, we felt we needed to do something for our employees, which we thought was going to be a stopgap. It is now the solution that we've continued with, which is that $400 a month policy.
I got to say, as, you know, a business guy, looking at getting into childcare like this. What does that make you think about, you know, the entrepreneurs, the people who are actually doing childcare right now? The way you just laid it out, it sounds almost impossible.
Oh, yeah, it is impossible. And, you know, I've visited many childcare centers now, you know, during the course of our journey. And it's clear to me that it would not be possible if the people who work in these places were not, you know, I almost want to use religious terminology, like if they weren't just answering some higher calling. You know, I mean, they are really giving of themselves and taking a very low wage to be able to do that work, probably because they care for kids, they care for the community, they enjoy it. Also, they, you know, many of them get the benefit of having free childcare for their own, you know, children at centers, which is worth something, you know. But I just came away with a profound respect and really sincere appreciation for the people that give of themselves to staff this industry that is, you know, economically, it doesn't make sense. Like Ruth mentioned that they make $13 an hour. I mean, we pay, as I mentioned, $26 an hour, and we can't find enough people. You know, how you find people who are able to work for 13, you know, boggles my mind, unless you understand that they're doing it for non-monetary reasons.
Yeah, Ruth Schmidt, who we just heard from the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association, made the case that we can't really square this circle without, as she argued, some kind of government funding. Is that the page you are on now, or do you think there are other solutions out there?
Oh yeah, 100%. I mean, this is a public good, you know, just like public education. This is just an extension of that, and. You know, even more critically important, I'd argue, the years of 0 to 5. And we know that, you know, the economy, the private sector, whether it's through, you know, parental contributions or through companies, simply cannot sustain that level of spending. You know, I mean, even if you cut the $40,000 in half and say it's on average $20,000, you know, that's just a non-tenable expense for most people. You know, in our company, we pay the $400 a month extra. That's about $5,000 per employee, which, you know, compared to the wage they make, it's about $50,000. This is a 10% increase in wages. I mean, that's not sustainable either for most companies, or even for us, frankly. And so, you know, and that doesn't even get us the whole way to make up the gap. It gets us a quarter of the way to make up the gap. And so, yeah, there's a big gap that's worth, you know, public money to invest in. And I absolutely believe that, you know, public solution has to be a big part of this.
In the meantime, Sachin, bringing things back around to that single dad you mentioned, the other employees using this, as you mentioned, this isn't a magic solution for everybody, but do you get the sense that helping subsidize their childcare is at least making some difference for your employees with kids?
Yes. I mean, without a doubt, you know, our motive in this clearly is about workforce, you know, to help make our work sustainable for our employees, but is even more fundamentally, you know, you asked Ruth, when you were talking with her about what does this mean for the kids? And this is about, you know, the child's experience and helping them, you know, access a trajectory for their lives by learning to read when they're young and having a nurturing environment. And, you know, that's what motivates us. And, you know, I got to believe that child experience is the motivation for all of us who are working on behalf of this problem.
Sachin, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you so much, Rob.
Sachin Shivaram is the CEO of Wisconsin Aluminum Foundry in Manitowoc and chair of the Governor's Council on Workforce Investment. We also heard from Ruth Schmidt, executive director of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association.